Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. First order of business, folks, is to say a big thank you to everyone who tuned in on Sunday. Sunday was our highest rated show ever. So we hear you loud and clear. You want the answers to your questions. Last week's show was question and answer session, and it was our highest rated show ever. So we will try to do these a lot more often for you. I always have fun doing them anyway. Just a quick reminder that if you are going to write in your question, please try to make it a question that's not time-related, because we may have to wait 5 or 6 days to answer that question, and if that question has already answered itself, there's really no point. So if you have an actual question that's not so timely and time-related, absolutely write it in, and we will do – we may do these segments on a regular basis, as far as instead of making it an entire show, we may just use like the last 10 or 15 minutes of a show to answer questions. We're considering that. Anyway, folks, a lot of news to cover today, so let's get right to it, and let's start with what's, I guess, going to be the biggest news as far as wrestling fans are concerned anyway, and that is that CM Punk apparently is, in fact, going to make his return to AEW. What I'm hearing now is that Tony Khan had basically said that he had made that decision several weeks ago. However, there was, I guess, a cog in the wheel a couple of weeks back, and they had to work it out. I'm assuming what they had to work out is a talk with the locker room or whatever it happened to be. If you remember, last month, CM Punk accused the same company of making him work hurt or pressuring him to work when he was hurt, which is exactly what he said about the WWE, filed a lawsuit and everything against him. So he basically said AEW is an unsafe place to work because they were trying to force him to work hurt. He also said that Jon Moxley refused to lose to him when they were, I guess, working out some matches. And they called Chris Jericho all kinds of names, including a liar. So what I'm hearing is that Jericho said he's not going to work with him. I don't know what Moxley is saying. I have no idea. But what I'm hearing is that Punk might debut on this new show that's, what is it scheduled for? Like, it's a Saturday show. I think it's June 17th. They're going to start a new show. So I guess CM Punk will be back in AEW, despite the fact that he said the company was unsafe to work for, despite the fact that he said that one of their top guys is a liar and the other one is a prima donna who refused to lose to him, despite the fact that he called out management, despite the fact that he had a fist fight in the locker room with executives. I guess this guy can get away with anything, Mike, because Tony Khan is now desperate for ratings, and we're going to get into why in a minute, but what's your thoughts on CM Punk returning to AEW?
Well, look, if he's talking about not working with people, and he damn well knew when he first got hired what Moxley wanted was going to do there, right? He wanted, we know what Moxley wanted, to do a lot of hardcore stuff and that, and WWE said no, right? He knew that.
Yeah.
And my question is this: if you're gonna bring him back, you better damn well make sure he gets in shape. You know, that's my question. He looks the part. He's got to look the part. Yeah, he's in his late 40s. I get that. But that doesn't mean that you can't look the part. I mean, for God's sake, look at Edge, you know?
That's true. Edge looks fantastic compared to CM Punk. And, of course, Edge has had his share of medical issues, as we know, and he's older than CM Punk, actually. So, yeah, I mean, all these things. Here's the thing. I don't really even care how CM Punk looks. If he was a guy who was going to go in there with a positive attitude and say, you know, let's do the best we can for this company and see if we can, you know, reach a different level of ratings and things, but he's not going to. And Tony Khan has just proven himself to be an idiot. Because anyone who would take back a guy who basically sits right alongside you and says, yeah, this company sucks, they don't know what they're doing, they have no management, their leadership is poor, if anybody has a problem with that, they can knock on my dressing room door and we'll discuss it, right in front of your boss, right in front of your boss, has no respect for you. CM Punk has no respect for Tony Khan, zero respect for Tony Khan. We'll see how this works out. I'm sure Tony Khan, launching his new television show, is trying to say, well, this will be great. If I can get him on the new television show, maybe we can get more ratings. The last thing Tony Khan needs is another television show. You have two already, and one of them is really tanking. I don't know if you need a third. Todd, what's your thoughts on CM Punk returning?
Well, like you said, Tony Khan, he's always been he's always has the heart to bring guys back, and especially CM Punk. And if I was Tony Khan, I would put my foot down. If you're going to come back, I'm going to put you on a probationary basis temporarily. If you mess up once, you're out of here. That's my thing on that with Tony Khan with the CM Punk situation.
Yeah, listen, some people are going to say, well, Vince McMahon brought back the Ultimate Warrior after he held him up for this, and Vince McMahon brought back Bret Hart even. Yeah, but both of those guys held up the company for money, and one of them didn't want to lose the title and all that kind of stuff. But none of them ever really just came right out for no reason after being given the title and just ran the company right down, right in front of Vince McMahon. Nobody did that. Nobody did that. So it's different. Behind the scenes, CM Punk was saying, I want more money or I'm not going out there. Well, okay, that's business. When you do this in front of a nationwide audience, it's not business. It's you personally using their time to air your grievances. And that's not what you're being paid for. This would be the same thing as if after a baseball game, when they interview the player, they have those press conferences. The manager sitting there, and let's say the pitcher is sitting there that won the game, and he says, well, let me tell you, I'm lucky to win this game. Because this manager has no idea what he's doing. The front office has no idea how to put a baseball team on the field. Half of the people on this field do not belong on the field. And I'm very fortunate that I won this game, because if I wasn't so good, this team would be in big trouble because they're hopeless. How long do you think that baseball player would be on that team? He'd be done the next day. The next day, and he would not be rehired. So CM Punk is very fortunate. But I think Tony Khan smells blood in the water. And let me tell you why I think Tony Khan smells blood in the water. Because Warner Brothers Discovery apparently is interested in the WWE programming. There was a guy from, that was a source for Warner Brothers Discovery. I'm trying to think of his name, but I can't remember his name. But anyway, he literally said that Warner Brothers Discovery was very interested in WWE programming and said that even though the company's bleeding money, they would be super interested in getting a WWE program on there, specifically Raw. Okay, I can believe the guy's name is Miller. James Andrew Miller, yeah. And it says Miller also stated that should the Warner Brothers Discovery manage to sign a television deal with the WWE for Raw, It's possible that they might move Raw from its traditional Monday night spot to a different night, and it would be on TNT or TBS. Here's the main problem. This is a company that's making serious cutbacks. Remember? We didn't even know if AEW was going to survive these cutbacks. If they give the WWE all the money in the world, come onto that network, you think they're keeping AEW too? See, what I think Warner Brothers Discovery did is said, let's get the B team. Let's get AEW and see if there are wrestling fans interested. And the answer is, yeah, we're getting 900,000 to a million with a company that's not as established as the WWE. Now, over in the WWE, they're getting 1.8, 1.9. Sometimes they're breaking 2. And I think the powers that be said, okay, well, why are we going with the B team then? If we have wrestling fans who will watch it on this network, and we have a lot of wrestling fans tuning into our network, we could double that. Yeah, it's going to cost us more money, but think of the advertising dollars. Think of the overall. And I got news for you. If they sign the WWE to a contract for Raw, Tony Khan's not surviving it. They got to play out the rest of his contract. But when that contract comes up, there's no way. Because Tony Khan's going to have to ask for more money, right? You don't ask for less. So Tony Khan's going to say, well, your contract is coming up with me. I'd like to get more money next year. They're going to say, I'm sorry, we got the WWE over here trouncing you in the rating. You're doing 600,000, you're doing 400,000 in one of your shows. You're doing 6-8 some nights here. They're doing 1.7. It's a no-brainer. So this could be bad news for AEW, Mike, because I doubt Warner Brothers Discovery, with the money they're trying to save, is going to hand the keys to the kingdom to WWE and then still pay Tony Khan a fat amount of money for his show.
I get that, and that's the thing. Here's what they also have to look at, you know, even with some of the writing, I mean, we know why Warner Brothers Discovery has been cutting different shows. I mean, they've taken, now granted, throw off CW because that's a different company, but a lot of their shows that were slated to end, the scripted shows now, that were slated to end, they ended them. Now, they've added a couple here and there, you know, a couple scripted shows here and there. And we know that the WWE is a scripted thing. So you got to look at that, too. You got to look at the fact that who writes, even a bad WWE script is better than some of the scripts that AEW has been putting out. So that's another thing. Like you said, why bring in the B team when you can get the A team, right? And, I mean, now can Vince and them say, well, we've always been on Monday night, and if you're going to get us, you got to keep us on Monday night? Maybe, maybe not. You know, we'll see.
You know, I don't think they'd do that, but the money is going to be a point of contention. I don't know how much Warner Brothers Discovery is going to offer them. But USA Network has no other leg to stand on. Their main show is Monday Night Raw. And without Monday Night Raw, this network collapses. So they're going to offer them a lot of money. They're going to offer them a lot of money. The question is, will Warner Brothers Discovery, who already has said, we're trying to save every penny we can and we're making every cut we can they match it? Will they match it? Or will they exceed it? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. The more they pay them, the less likely it is that Tony Khan's contract survives. So if the WWE gets a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak, from Warner Brothers Discovery, you can rest assured that Tony Khan will be pitching his programming to USA, who lost Monday Night Raw, if that happens, or some other television station, because I doubt they're going to stay on Warner Brothers Discovery stations. I doubt it very greatly. That could be a big problem, Todd, for Tony Khan.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember back in 2000 when ECW got thrown off TNN and got replaced by WWE programming at that time. And well, like you said, it lost a lot of viewers for ECW and everything for in ratings. It was just not working.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Overnight, if the WWE goes on TBS or TNT, overnight that station has greatly increased their viewership. Greatly increased it. They know that. So this is going to be very, very interesting to see how this turns out. Very interesting. And if I was Tony Khan, I wouldn't be putting too many more shows on the network until I found out if the network was going to stand by me and if these rumors are true. From what I'm hearing, they're not rumors. This guy has the inside track on it, and he said, I definitely know they're interested. The question is, you know, how much is it going to cost them? Well, it's going to cost you plenty. Now, USA's deal is up, I don't know, I think the end of this year maybe. And so they're probably next year. I think it's this year. So they're going to be working on that. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen right away. Perhaps this is why Tony Khan panicked and is trying to say, look, I got the ratings. You don't have to go anywhere else. Because right now he can't show them the ratings and say they're matching the WWE because they're not. Speaking of the WWE, here's a story you don't like to report on, but unfortunately we have to. Former WWE superstar Ted DiBiase Jr. has been arrested. He's pled not guilty, and he's charged with fraudulently obtaining money from the Emergency Food Assistance Program and the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Program. I think the exact charges are money laundering and wire fraud. It's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. He is looking at a potential of 80 years in prison. 80 years. Prosecutors described this as the biggest fraud case in the history of Mississippi. In the history of Mississippi. So you hate to see this. There are other people that were arrested in this too and are going to be charged with it. It's obviously not just Ted DiBiase Jr., but you know, he's the wrestler who's charged with it, so that's what we're talking about. This is not good. People are saying he used the money that he fraudulently obtained to buy a house, a boat, some other things, and we're talking about millions of dollars here, tens of millions of dollars, actually, with everyone that's involved. He personally didn't get the tens of millions. He's pled not guilty, Mike, but I got to tell you, you're innocent until proven guilty in this country, but it's very, very difficult for me to believe that you've arrested someone like this unless you really do have the goods. Because if this is being called the largest case of this type in the history of Mississippi, they have to have some pretty good information that they've got their ducks in a row here. And if so, This is extremely bad news for Ted DiBiase Jr.
Right, you know, you go back and if you can prove fraud, that's bad. That's what got some, you know, Bernie Madoff and all these other people. You were able to prove fraud against like Bernie Madoff, right? And so if they're able to prove fraud, that's bad. That is really bad news. I mean, look, they couldn't get Al Capone on his murders and his criminal acts. They had to get him on fraud, on tax fraud, right?
Tax fraud, yeah.
That's how they got Al Capone. So it's bad news.
Yeah, it's a lot of bad news, and like I said, it carries an 80-year sentence, and it's not even just fraud. It's money laundering, it's illegal wire transference, and it is fraud for stealing from, and the worst of it all is at least Bernie Madoff stole from people who were greedy trying to make a quick fortune on Wall Street. This, if true, means they stole from literally the mouths of people who couldn't afford to buy food. Government assistance programs for the needy and people providing food. That's really bad. And what doubles it and makes it even worse is that this is a family, and Ted DiBiase Jr. is one of them, who has always preached religion, right? He even had his own ministry, right, Ted DiBiase Jr., and a camp for kids or whatever where they preached. This is not good. It's just not good. Our hope is that this is all a horrible mistake, and perhaps he was somehow indirectly involved, and it appears as though he has more involvement than he does. He has pled not guilty. But I've been around the law sort of thing for a while, okay? I like to read up on stuff like this. And it is very unusual that you would take this kind of case and with these kind of charges if you don't have the real goods on somebody. See, because they'll wait. It's not like, oh, we found this out yesterday and tomorrow you're being arrested. It's like, we found this out yesterday and a year and a half from now you're going to be arrested because we're going to do all kinds of research. We're going to get all of our ducks in a row. We're going to get all of our paperwork, all of our subpoenas, all everything in order. So that when we do arrest you, we have it all down in black and white and you're nailed. That's usually how this works. And the reason it works that way is because if they go to court and say, humana, 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 we don't really have any evidence, we think this, we thought that, the judge is going to go ballistic. He's going to get off, and then they're going to look like complete idiots, bumbling idiots. So they don't work it that way. Before they ever slap the old handcuffs on you, they usually have everything they need and know that they need for a conviction. And then sometimes it doesn't work out. You don't get convicted for whatever reason. But at least they could say, well, we have a lot of evidence and it just didn't pan out for us. So I'm thinking they got a lot of evidence, Todd. And if that's the case, you know, Ted DiBiase himself was involved in some scandal a while back. It doesn't look good for this family.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you said about Ted DiBiase Jr. and everything, and the whole family. Like you said, the stuff they did years ago was sort of fraud, and they got away with it back then. Now they're not going to get away with it now. Now they got caught, especially Ted DiBiase Jr. got caught for stealing money.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's not like, listen, I have sympathy for the people who lost everything with Bernie Madoff and stuff like that. I have some sympathy for you. But at the end of the day, it's usually very well-off people who are trying to get even richer by stock market scams and stuff like that. This is literally the Emergency Food Assistance Program and the Temporary Assistance for Needy Family Program. If you stole millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars from them, and it's true, there's a lot of families who didn't get what they were hoping to get or get what they deserved while somebody's buying a big house and a boat. So that rubs me the wrong way. I'm hoping it's not true. Like I said, in this country, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. So I hope that somehow he can prove his innocence, but I'm just telling you, it does not look good for him. I'm assuming they have the goods. I'm assuming that. Anyway, Sasha Banks has declared herself the greatest women's wrestler in the history of professional wrestling on both continents. She said, not only did I prove myself to be the best female wrestler in the United States, but now I'm proving myself to be the best female wrestler in Japan, and I'm going to move down there full time and prove that that's exactly what I am. Whatever she's been smoking, she must have got from Snoop Dogg, because I have a news flash for you. You were never even the best wrestler on the WWE roster, let alone in Japan. All really she has to offer is her gimmick and her look, which is very timely and very modern, and it plays well with the audience. She is not in any way, shape, or form what I would call an elite female wrestler. She's an attraction, and she does draw money. But that would be like Enzo saying, well, I'm the best wrestler. Well, obviously you're not the best wrestler. You may draw money. Your gimmick may be over. You're not the best wrestler. So this has gone to her head, quite obviously. We reported last week that she was tweeting out, please don't follow me around in Japan, and I don't want to be followed to my this place and that place, and please don't bother me when I'm in public. She's quickly endearing herself to the wrestling fans. She's burning bridges behind her, Mike. I don't understand why somebody that's a little bit smart in this business doesn't put a bug in her ear and say, you need to chill, honey, before you don't have a career.
Absolutely. And think about this. We know the quality of wrestlers that come out of Japan, right? From
right.
Asuka to Kairi Sane to Io Sky. You know, all those, just name, even what's her name in, what's the little wrestler's name in AEW that carries the kendo stick with her? I'm blanking on her name
now. Her name escapes me, but
yeah.
I know who you mean, yeah.
Yeah, even her, think about it. These women, like you say, she's burning bridges. I mean, look, she wouldn't even be the best wrestler. She's not even. I mean, think about it. Put WWE to the side. Let's look at AEW. AEW has Ruby Riott, has Paige, has Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, has. I'm just going down the list, you know, of these people. She's not even in the top five or six in AEW. What makes her think she's going to be in the top wrestler in Japan?
Yeah, well, she's not. She's quite obviously not. And here's the thing. It depends on what you want to say makes you a top wrestler. If you say, well, in Japan, I might be able to draw more than the women who've already been there, you might. That's true. You might be able to draw more. But what do you think is going to happen when the Japanese women who train very hard and they're a very what's the right word for it? They are a very sturdy bunch of people. They're not fragile. They're not injured much. They don't break and bend very much, you know? Sasha Banks does. Sasha Banks is injury prone. What do you think is going to happen when Sasha Banks struts her way down there and they read, she said, I am currently the best wrestler in Japan? That's not going to sit well. It's just not going to sit well. And she may find out that the style of wrestling that the Japanese women do down there is not to her liking, because if she's hurt so much in WWE, where they're basically told you don't even touch somebody, for real, imagine in Japan when they're laying her out. How many American wrestlers went to Japan and said, Jesus Christ, when you go down there in Japan, you got to expect that, you know, they're really kicking you. They're really hitting you. It's not like American wrestling where you really pull everything. There's a lot of physical contact, extraordinarily stiff down there. And they purposely are more stiff with American wrestling. So when you go in there, you're really battling it out. It's predetermined, but they're really letting you have it a lot of the time. Well, Sasha Banks is not going to survive in that kind of thing. Not for long, and especially not for long if she keeps shooting her mouth off. Because she's going to become a target for one of them who says, well, if she thinks she's all that, let's see if she can handle what I bring tonight. And that's not going to be good for her. I don't understand why anyone would do that. I just don't. It's almost like you're asking for it. I recently listened to an interview with Steve Kern, who was one of the fabulous ones, but you might know him better as Skinner from the WWE. And he told the story about the Ultimate Warrior, and he said, the Ultimate Warrior never did anything bad to me, personally. However, he snubbed a lot of my friends who were in the locker room, He had his own separate dressing room. He wouldn't mix with the boys. And when you hear some of your friends say, oh, that guy did this or said this to me or did whatever, you're going to go out there and you're going to do something to him because that's the way wrestling works. And they ask him, well, what did you do to him? And he said, well, the Warrior came over to me before our match and said, don't spit that licorice, because that's what it was. It wasn't chewing tobacco. If you remember, he'd always chew this nasty black, what they said was tobacco, but it was licorice. Don't spit that in my face. I don't want you to spit that in my face. So he said, I did. I just said, okay, I won't, and then I did. Now, he said he got the last laugh on me because obviously he's winning the match, and then he grabbed a whole handful of it out of my mouth and rubbed it all over my face, which was not in the script, but I still did it. And he said, little things like that, you know, like if you hear that there's no respect from someone. And he said, no, we all understand that the Ultimate Warrior was drawing more money than us. We all understand that he was a main attraction, and as Skinner, I was not a main attraction. And we don't have any problem with that. There's no jealousy that, wow, you're a big, 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 huge star, and I'm a mid-carder at best. We understand things like that happen. But at least respect us. And when you don't respect us and you start buying into your own publicity, that's when things get ugly. Well, Mike, that's, to me, that's basically describing Sasha Banks.
That's describing Sasha Banks. And think about this. Why, you have to ask yourself, why is Shinsuke Nakamura happy doing what he's doing in WWE?
Right.
Because, you know, he's not, frankly, I don't think AEW could pay him right now. And secondly, he doesn't want to go back to Japan because he knows what's waiting for him there. Yeah, he's a legend there, sure. But he knows that they want long matches and they want them to be able to work stiff. And he's 40 years old now, is Shinsuke. Same thing for Asuka. She's willing to work a little stiff here and there here, but I guarantee you that Asuka, even though she may be a legend over in Japan, she doesn't want to go back to Japan because she knows that she's going to have to do long matches and she's going to have to work stiff more often than not.
Exactly. And it's not going to, that's not going to end well for Sasha Banks, who's injury prone to begin with. Injury prone to begin with. So we also have a little bit of news from Jackson Ryker. Unfortunately, it's not good news. He recently did a podcast, and I'm going to basically tell you what he said about his stint in the WWE and the backlash over the tweet that he did. And before I do, I want to tell you that I don't care who you voted for. This is not a political show. But wrong is wrong and right is right. And I'm going to read this, and you tell me if you think this is right. Because if you think this is right, you have a very twisted sense of what right and wrong is. He says, I'm sitting on my couch, and within a matter of, I'm going to say 15 minutes, my phone just starts to blow up. I start to get random phone calls from random numbers. I'm like, what's going on? And my wife goes, what? What's going on with your phone? I mean, literally, it's like the end of the world had happened. Within a matter of an hour or so, I'm getting death threats. I'm getting cell phone calls. If I can number the amount of voicemails that came over my phone in that length of time, it happened for at least a good week. It's well over 100 voicemails with people threatening my family. My address within a matter of an hour or so was tweeted out, my new address. People were saying they were going to come burn my house down. People said they were going to come murder my family. Dude, it was the most extreme thing I've ever been through, to the point of an old Chad back in the 20s wanting to come out. You know what I mean? I'm not going to ask for anybody to defend me. What I would say was folks that I worked with that I thought were my friends or thought were my companions were quick to turncoat. There were some tweets that went out from coworkers, not going to name any names because I don't think it's important. But there were tweets that went out from coworkers that fueled the fire, and I was like, what in the world? The majority of you guys know who I am as a person, and you know as a person, and for you to do this and make it look like one tweet was some sort of a racial hate speech, bigoted, whatever you want to call it, that's really what started to bother me. So, yeah, I mean, my address was tweeted out, and people were threatening my family. It was ridiculous. People calling my phone, like I said, random numbers. This is just, I mean, it's just horrible. So, of course, you know, it's 2022, and now it's very easy to access all this stuff, and I was just blown away. Like, I was sitting there on my couch, and my wife, when she found out the tweet, was like, there's nothing wrong with that tweet. What the hell is going on? Well, I'm going to tell you this. If you happen to be one of those people who truly think that Jackson Ryker deserved this kind of treatment because he said that he supports, at the time, the current president of the United States, I want you to ask yourself, if a wrestler came out and said, I currently support our president, Joe Biden. I think he's doing a good job, and I think he's doing the best he can, and I'm glad he was elected. If his family got death threats, if his children were threatened, if his house was threatened to be burned down, you would call that side Nazis. You would call that side fascists. So that's what I'm calling you. Anyone who participated in this, you are in fact a Nazi. You are in fact a fascist. Because the right way to handle this is to say, I totally disagree with you. I respect your right to say it, but I totally disagree with you. And then there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you disagreeing. There's nothing wrong with you making your disagreement public. There's nothing wrong with you tweeting Jackson Ryker and saying, dude, I'm very disappointed in your opinion on this. I really think you're wrong, but whatever. You know, you do you. We do not live in a country where you threaten to kill someone's children because they politically disagree with you. And if you get to that stage in a country where that happens, then you're no longer a free country. I would be saying the same thing if Jackson Ryker had said something negative about the president and people threatened him to do this. You can't do that. If Jackson Ryker said, I think Donald Trump is the worst president in history, I think he deserves to be kicked out of office and should never be seen again, okay. No, that's your opinion. I don't share it. That's your opinion. Good for you. Vote the way you want to vote. Your vote has consequences. Go do it. But I wouldn't call for his family to be killed. I wouldn't call for his house to be burned down. I wouldn't call for him to be fired. The people who do that are fragile people who cannot, that intelligent people can disagree. And to be perfectly honest with you, the WWE and Triple H, of all the people that they reinstated, should have reinstated Jackson Ryker and should have told that dressing room in no uncertain terms, this is not the way we play ball here. By the way, all of you sensitive WWE athletes who were so quick to jump on Jackson Ryker's back, you get your paycheck signed every single week, do anyway, back then, by a man who was very clearly a pro-Trump person because his wife worked for the organization. But you spent that money, didn't you? And you went out and bought yourself a house with that good old money from that guy who supports the guy you hate, right? But you can't share a locker room with one. What does that make you? Besides an idiot. It makes you a hypocrite. That's what it makes you. I feel sorry for Jackson Ryker, Mike. I think, you know, I hope someone signs him and he does well. And I think that we need more people to actually speak out about this. I mean, if you're a wrestler, let's say you hate who the president was at the time, but you knew Jackson Ryker. You need to be that guy that says, hey, wait a minute. I know Jackson Ryker. He's no racist. He's no whatever. He supports the president. Big deal. 80 million people voted for him. 80 million people support the president. Don't make it look like, you know, it's just a fringe group of crazy people. You know, there's 35 people in the world who are crazy like him. No, there's 80 million people. Half the goddamn country. But somebody from the other side of this equation needs to come out and say, hey, who the hell do you think you are threatening a nice guy like that? Okay, he doesn't agree with my politics, and I don't agree with his, but I know him, and I know he's not that. But you're cowards, so you won't do it. So instead, this guy has to go home, deal with his family in turmoil, his children threatened. And I think that just stinks, Mike.
So too, and that's the thing. I mean, think about this. You know, I mean, let's put this in what you call it in terms of wrestling, right? Right? You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let's put
can
this
you
in
hear
terms
me?
Of wrestling. Yeah, I can hear you. Let's put this
okay.
in terms of wrestling. When UWF or Mid-South turned Butch Reed face, they did an interview with him and what's his name and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And this was right before Hacksaw Jim Duggan went up to the WWF at the time. And what Hacksaw Jim Duggan said, I may not agree with what you do, and you may not agree with what I do, but we've got this going on, and we got the Akbar's army to deal with, and maybe we need to get together in the back and come together and do this thing. And like I said, we may not agree with each other, but we've got something bigger to do. That's what should have happened. I may not agree with you. You may not agree with me, but this is a job. We got to do the job, and there we go. You know, and that's the thing. And by the way, I think the wrestler I'm thinking about is Riho.
Oh, okay, Riho, yeah.
You know, yeah, she carries the kendo stick all the time and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
And mm-hmm. she's another one of these smallish wrestlers as Riho that, other than the fact that she's been injured a little bit in AEW, she doesn't get injured a much, unlike Sasha Banks. Riho is a small wrestler. You know, she came from Japan. So yeah, you know.
No, absolutely. The Japanese women are tough. We all know that. We all know how tough the Japanese women are. And I don't know if Sasha Banks can keep up with that. And certainly, look, if Sasha Banks went in that dressing room and said, look, it's an honor to be here with all of you. I realize that your styles are different than mine. I'm going to try to bring, you know, a little bit of the American style to this. I also realize you guys are a lot more physical. I'm a bit injury prone. I would ask that, you know, maybe we can meet in the middle here. I don't expect you to alter your style for me. And you know, I can't alter my style for you, but I'm not used to getting thumped. And I don't want to be hurt, so I just want to know, let everybody know that I'm here to help everybody in this federation. Instead, you waltz in and say, well, I'm the greatest wrestler now in Japan. After proving I was the greatest wrestler in the United States, I'm going to go to Japan, and, you know, I'll be the hottest thing they've ever seen. That's not going to sit well. I'm sorry, it's not. Just not. By the way, the list of WWE walking wounded is really increasing. I'm going to run through the list of people who are out with injury. Some of them have been out for a very long time. But as we speak now, you got Carmella. Big E obviously isn't back yet, although we might see him very, very soon. Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Ronda Rousey, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Robert Roode. I guess Aaliyah is sidelined, but I heard she was back, and they just have nothing for her. Then in NXT, you got Amari Miller, Ariana Grace, Blair Davenport, Nikita Lyons, Roderick Strong, Sangha, Yulsa Lyon. I mean, Jesus Christ. Walking wounded over there. The hell is going on? Now, we might be seeing Big E a lot sooner than a lot of people think, because both Mike had originally said, and I agree with what he said, You're not going to give Xavier Woods a shot at Gunther unless there's a motivation behind it. Because Xavier Woods does not deserve a title shot based on his booking. Xavier Woods isn't even really a solo wrestler. He's mostly with the New Day. And he's just not going to get it. Look how long you gave Kofi Kingston a big push before you gave him his title shot, right? Xavier Woods hasn't gotten any push. He barely beat LA Knight. So there's got to be a reason. I believe the reason is Big E. I believe we're going to see the return of Big E very soon, if not possibly tonight. But if not tonight, then very soon. And I believe that might be a SummerSlam program that we're going to have as Big E versus Gunther, which would be fantastic, Todd. I don't see any other reason to give Xavier Woods a title shot except if you have this in the wings.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is a good time for Big E to come back to do sort of like American Hero thing. I remember back in a couple of years ago when he sort of did a American Hero thing with did a program with Rusev the U.S. title or something.
Yep.
You could have Gunther to doing the anti-American stuff saying, you Americans don't deserve to be Intercontinental Champion or something like that, or U.S. Champion. I challenge anybody from the back who's not in my league as an American. You got Big E to come out with the Stars and Stripes gimmick.
Listen, it's very, very possible. You know, Dutch Mantel, who, if you don't subscribe to his show, you really probably should, because he is a fountain of information and very, very, very smart man on wrestling. He said what we all know. He said, look, the WWE is politically correct now, so there's certain things you cannot do. But it is quite obvious that Gunther and Imperium are supposed to be Nazis. They stand like the Nazis. They have the phraseology, the hands behind their back, the whole look, everything. He said, obviously, they're supposed to be anti-American, like Germans and possibly Nazis. So obviously you're going to put them up against somebody that's all American, which is could be Cody Rhodes, but if you have bigger fish to fry for Cody, you've got to find that all American. Who's that going to be? I mean, it could be Chad Gable, but you're not going to go there right away. So I would say it's going to be Big E, Mike, and that'll make for a hell of a great series of matches.
Right. You got Nazis and Nazi sympathizers, because Giovanni Vinci, his name sounds Italian,
right,
to me. Basically,
right.
What, in World War II, what was the Italians? The Italians were part of the Axis. They were Nazi sympathizers, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they were fascists, but they sided with the Nazis. So, yeah, that's what they are. And I've said it before. I mean, look, that injury that Kofi has is not a long-term injury. He'll be out a short amount of time, and he'll be back. So I'm not only am I expecting Big E to come back and have something to do with Gunther, but I'm also expecting Kofi to come back, and then we'll possibly see six-man tags with them and Imperium.
Very, very possible. Very possible. Some more news here is that apparently Goldberg is upset with the WWE. Goldberg said he was promised a retirement match or a series of retirement matches and was not given the opportunity to have them before his contract ran out. Says he still wants to have a series of retirement matches, and he's obviously trying to curry favor with Tony Khan to have it be in AEW, which I would imagine that Tony Khan might be interested in, but he should think long and hard about it, because I don't think AEW fans are going to respect Goldberg much. Goldberg reportedly got $2 million per match in Saudi Arabia. $2 million per match. Did any of his matches last longer than 5 minutes, 6 minutes? Would Tony Khan really shell out that kind of money? I don't know. Is he worth that? Is he going to draw ratings? See, this is the thing. In WWE, Goldberg does sometimes draw ratings just because WWE's fan base is different. AEW is more wrestling-oriented, more in-ring wrestling-oriented and not character-oriented. And I'm not 100% sure AEW fans give one damn about Bill Goldberg. And they're sure as hell not going to give a damn about a five-minute match. They're just not going to. And Goldberg certainly isn't going to take less. So I don't know if it's worth it. My gut tells me no, it's not. And if he just re-signed CM Punk, I'm sure he gave him all the money in the world. And I just don't know who you're going to put him up against. I mean, I guess you could, theoretically, if I'm Tony Khan and I want to sign Goldberg, I'm doing Goldberg Sting. That makes sense. I'm not doing Goldberg Wardlow or anything else. That doesn't work for me. I'm doing Goldberg Sting. Because then I think even wrestling fans who are more oriented toward 20-minute, highly technical matches will say, well, this is history. This is going to be a Sting Goldberg. I got to see that. So I do think there might be some meat on the bone there, Mike. But other than that, I don't see anything for Goldberg in AEW.
I don't see anything in it for him either. And frankly, that contract would have to be signed today because Sting's on the road to retirement, from what I understand.
Right.
And they can't, if they're going to do that match, they have to have that contract in hand and Goldberg's name on that contract right now.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to do it. Here's the thing. If you're Sting, you saw what happened with The Undertaker. He damn near killed him. If you're Sting, you might be saying to yourself, yeah, this is all well and good. I don't mind having a match with some guys who are well-versed in wrestling and can protect me and make sure I'm not hurt. I'm not sure I want to get in there with a clumsy Goldberg who's going to break my freaking neck. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Sting has managed to keep his career going this long, and he's not seriously injured. You don't want to do it in your 60, right? He's 60 just about. I think he is 60. You don't want this to happen. So I don't even know if Sting would be interested. But my point is that I think that's the only marquee match for Bill Goldberg. What's Goldberg's going to have retirement, a match against who? Oh, this is my big retirement match, and it's against Wardlow. This is my big retirement match, and it's against Sammy Guevara. Nobody's going to care about that. Nobody's going to care. If you're going to have your big retirement match, it has to be against somebody that you're like, oh, wow, this is absolutely a marquee match. This is like a wrestling fan's dream match. That would be Sting. Other than that, Todd, I don't see anybody matching up, even like Jericho. Nobody's going to care about that. So if Tony Khan does use him, I think it has to be Sting.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the one time I seen Sting wrestle Goldberg was on Monday Nitro back in the 90s when for the WCW championship. If it's that again, I don't mind seeing it. And like you said, with Jericho, him and Jericho never got along. Goldberg and Jericho never got along backstage in WCW. I guess a lot of controversy, a lot of bickering, arguing. I don't know exactly what happened.
They got into a fist fight. They literally got into a fist fight. Yes. So I'm not, and even that's not a big enough. I don't even think that's a big enough match. Icons. Not that Jericho's not an icon. He is, but he's a different kind of icon. If this was like Jericho against, I don't know, another Jericho type. But Goldberg's all this power or whatever. Sting was never a finesse wrestler anyway. That's the marquee match. That one I would definitely say fans would probably buy the pay-per-view or whatever to see. But I don't know if it merits $2 million for one match, Mike.
I don't think so either, and that's the thing. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's what they're paying Sting.
Hell no.
You know?
Hell
no. Because, well, and there, Sting's doing right now what he wants to do, basically. And, you know, they'll call him in and say, okay, we're going to have you tag with Darby Allin, right? Or tag with Darby Allin and somebody else. And Sting's happy doing that, it seems like. And, yeah, he's going to do a couple of singles matches in there, but that's due to the fact that he's on his retirement tour right now.
Yeah, so, and whatever Sting's contract is, and we don't know how much it is, it's probably a good amount of money. He's not going to do the Goldberg match for just his standard pay. He's going to say, well, if Goldberg's coming in, you want me to work with him, and you're giving him $2 million. Do you honestly think I'm going to do it for my standard contract? No. Of course not. They're going to have to give him a big amount of money, too. I don't know if it's worth it. Not exactly Hogan and Andre. It's definitely two legends going at it, and it's definitely going to be interesting to wrestling fans. I'm interested, even. But it's not Hogan Andre. It's not going to draw that much. So, I don't know, Mike, you know, again, it's how I know Tony Khan has unlimited money, I guess, but is it worth it in the long run?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And look, you don't know, another thing you don't know is you don't know how good a shape he's going to come in at. I mean, we talk about CM Punk coming in bad shape, but CM Punk is in what? Just in his late 40s, right? Mid to late 40s. Goldberg's in his mid 50s, you know? And he's, you know, he tends to not look like he's in great shape. And we saw that in those matches he had with The Undertaker, right? Whereas
yes.
you look at Sting, even in his early 60s, he looks like he's in his early to mid 40s. Sting does.
Yeah, Sting has managed to preserve himself very well. My guess is, and I don't want to disparage anybody else, but my guess is no use of steroids, no use of drugs, probably very limited, if any, use of alcohol, and just generally staying healthy. I mean, sometimes that can do that. You take a look at, you know, other wrestlers in their 60s, they don't look like Sting. Genetics, of course, plays a part of it, but... You know, only going to play so much of a part of it. So this is where we stand, folks. I guess we're seeing CM Punk back in AEW very soon. We may be seeing Warner Brothers Discovery actively pursuing a WWE program, which could be not good news for Tony Khan and AEW. Apparently, Sasha Banks is the greatest women's wrestler in the world, according to her. Ted DiBiase Jr. is arrested for apparently laundering money and stealing money from some assistance programs for needy people. And I don't know, the world's going crazy, but especially the world of professional wrestling. I'm looking forward to tonight. We may see something special here. We may see the return of Big E. I'm hoping we do. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.